Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, it's Joe, and it's a pleasure to introduce Catherine Fielding from Global UK, who's going to do a presentation for us now. So Catherine, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Presentation sounds very grand. I think I'm probably just going to be waffling on for a bit about goalball, which is a big passion of mine. So I've been involved in goalball for nearly 18 years now. For those of you that don't know what goalball is, it's an indoor three-a-side team sport, specifically designed for blind and partially sighted people. So it came about after the Second World War. They're looking for ways to rehabilitate blinded veterans, and they came up with this activity. Evolved into a sport. It was introduced into the Paralympics in 1976 and has been played around the world ever since. So how do you play it then? Well, the ball is basketball size. It's 1.25 kilograms, so it's a lot heavier. And the key characteristic is that it's audible. So if you know anything about blind cricket, blind football, blind tennis, similar kind of concept in that you track with your ears rather than your eyes. And then the court is tactile. So ordinarily, when you go into a sports hall, there's a multitude of lines, different colours for different sports. So green for volleyball, for example, white for badminton, etc. But obviously, if you have a visual impairment, you may not be able to see those lines. So what we do is we make them tactile. So it's a giant tactile map, and it's 18 metres long, 9 metres wide. And it's non-invasive, so you have to stay within your own half, so in your 9x9 area. And the goal is the full 9-metre width. So three players on court at any one time per team. All three of you have a responsibility to defend that big fat goal behind you. And all three of you have the opportunity to attack the big fat goal in front of you. We use a lot of stride length and communication to navigate as well as touch. And then what's really kind of crucial to it is that everyone wears eye shades. So it's irrelevant what you can or can't see off court, because when you go onto court, no one can see anything. So it's just about using the other senses. So it's really inclusive in that respect. It means that sighted siblings and friends and family can play as well. From a personal point of view, I'm sighted, but I enjoy playing goalball. I think if you like playing sport, you know, you'll enjoy playing goalball. Sometimes people don't perceive themselves to be sporty, but then they'll try goalball and they'll say, oh, actually, I enjoyed that. And I think it's often they'll have had a negative experience in a mainstream setting. So they might have gone along to, you know, the local gym and the receptionist or the gym floor staff haven't been particularly helpful, or gone along to a local football club and struggled. Whereas with goalball, it's a sport for VIs, and our kind of real ethos is we go above and beyond the court. So it's about everything from the beginning to the end. So a lot of our clubs, for example, we'll meet at the nearest train station rather than just saying, right, we're in the sports hall at this venue. We try and reduce as many barriers as possible. So that's kind of an overview of the sport. In terms of how it's played, it's a game of attack and defend. So the ball just goes backwards and forwards. The idea being that we say bowl the ball. The Paralympians can shift it at crazy speeds, but the ball travels along the floor, so you hear it come in. And then to defend, you're down low on the ground, because that's where the ball is. And then hopefully, if you hear it, you stretch out to stop it. And if you stop it, you then get hold of it, get back onto your feet and send it back. So it's a real fast, furious, fun game. My involvement from a UK perspective, I kind of get involved in club development, coach development. So we have a network of clubs around the country. Most of them have an open door policy. So you can maybe train with a few clubs. You can only play in League One club, but you can train with as many as you wish to. So if you fancy playing goalball every night of the week and you're prepared to travel, it is a possibility. In terms of the competitions, we have three levels of play. So we have novice, intermediate and elite, which hopefully are self-explanatory. At novice level, we tend to have junior players, so just coming into the sport. We'll have adults who have maybe just lost their sight, so they come into grips with kind of the VI element of the sport and moving under eye shades, for example, and developing tracking skills. So they tend not to stick in novice for too long. Then we also have adults with additional disabilities, so it's a real mix at novice. Intermediate, it gets a bit more competitive, and then elite, it obviously gets super competitive. having said that, throughout the sport, it really is friendly. We kind of talk about the goal ball family and that everyone helped each other out. And there's not many sports when people will be wearing different shirts, representing different teams, but yet helping each other out. And it's quite a nice sight to see when you're at a tournament and there's players from other teams sitting on the bench helping another team if maybe the coach needs some help or something like that. So it's a really, really supportive environment. It's not just about playing competitively, though. Some players just choose to play for fun, which is fine, and just come for the social element. Certainly over the past 18 months, like all sports, we've had to resort to Zoom to do lots of quizzes and other activities, but we've maintained that spirit within the sport. Now we're getting back to the kind of normal life as such. There's still a lot of social opportunities as well. So, for example, with my West Yorkshire club, we're going Tenpin bowling this weekend. So, we do activities together as well. The sport brings us together, but then we do lots of other things. Around the country, as well as having the club set up, we also deliver taster sessions. So we'll take the sport to new areas, maybe where there isn't a club. Often this is in partnership with the likes of British Blind Sport. So, for example, a week last Saturday, there was a Have a Go Day in Bristol, and goal ball was one of the sports on offer there. So it gives people the chance to just go along and give it a go before getting involved. We're also doing a lot of work with juniors. So in the October half term that's coming up in a few weeks, we've got a taster session in Croydon, a taster session in Bradford, and that's for 8 to 16 year olds. So you can come along, doesn't matter if they've never played goal ball before, and get involved. And then kind of going upscale the other way, there really is no kind of age barrier to goal ball. People can play for as long as they wish to, as long as their hips will allow them. It can be quite brutal on the hips and the agility getting up and getting down, but it's not a case of, right, I'm too old now, I can't run that far anymore, because there are these different levels of play. So I'm completely biased, but I think it's a really, really amazing sport. I got involved through it. Basically, I stepped in someone's shoes. So I've always been very sporty, involved in lots of sport as a participant, as a spectator, and as a coach. I started off teaching and quickly got fed up with the bureaucracy of education and moved into sports development and became the VI development officer for Disability Sport Yorkshire. And that naturally entailed a lot of goal ball. But the person that I took over from, they were the heavily involved with GB and British Blind Sport, who kind of governed the sport at the time. So I naturally just picked up lots of his work. So before too long, I was traveling the country, on a weekend involved with goal ball. Now we've got the national governing body. It's a little bit different. Although we still rely heavily on volunteers, there is also that professional workforce to support it. We are quite England-centric at the moment. That's due to funding, in that most of the funding comes from Sport England, but we do have a club in South Wales, a club in Glasgow, and a club in Londonderry, Northern Ireland. We are looking to develop further as well in the home nations, but I said funding's a bit more of a challenge. But there's no kind of passport check, so people are welcome to travel to get involved. So, yeah, I mean, it's a sport which a lot of people don't know about. We don't have that mainstream big brother. So you may know what football is, and volleyball is, and basketball. So you've got a good idea about sitting volleyball and blind football and wheelchair basketball. But for goal ball, we are reverse integration, in that we're purposely devised for blind and partially sighted people, and it's adapted to include sighted people through the use of eye shades. So we're not kind of the biggest known sport outside of the VI world, but we're growing all the time, and we're always looking for new people to get involved, be it as players or as coaches or as officials. I've had some incredible opportunities throughout the years. I said I'm involved in a few sports, and most of them I don't really get very far with in terms of geography, but with goal ball, I've been around the world. We've got some exciting opportunities coming up. We've just relaunched our season. We had the first tournament a week last Saturday, and we've got another tournament this Saturday, or three tournaments this Saturday. So we've got Manchester, Hereford and Croydon simultaneously. And spectators are welcome to go along and watch them. But what we're building up to is the biggie in 2023 in August. We have the World Games, it's going to be held in Birmingham. So alongside 10 other BI sports, goalball is going to be there showcased to the world, and that will be a qualification tournament for Paris in 2024. Unfortunately, neither of our GB teams qualified for Tokyo in 2020/2021. So that is our real aim now. Everything is now focused on getting the teams to Paris just to raise the profile of the sport. Because although not everyone aspires to be a Paralympian, there are other opportunities there for those that wish to. So, that's goalball.
Fantastic. Thanks, Catherine. That was really interesting. So has anybody got any questions for Catherine regarding goalball? Catherine, does it take place at mainstream schools at all? You know, so say there's a VI child in a mainstream setting. Have there been any schools that have embraced that so that, because it is so good for bringing sighted and visually impaired people together?
Yeah, we have a children and young persons officer whose role is to try and get into schools and do delivery work. And we have an offer to schools. Sometimes people find us by chance. But events like Sight Village are quite good when you'll get QTVIs that come there, and then they will put us in touch with schools where there are visually impaired pupils. And we find that when we take goalball into school, it's kind of very educational for the PE teachers, because they can struggle to adapt the sport. For the visually impaired pupil, it's quite empowering, because suddenly they're top dog at something and really enjoy it. And equally for the sighted peers, it is that empathy, really. They get a better understanding of visual impairment, because maybe in other aspects of school life, they may see the friend walking around with a cane or using technology in a classroom, but they don't really experience the visual impairment, whereas when they're playing goalball, those eye shades go on and they get to play. So it's a really, really good leveller. It's hard getting into the schools because it's all the paperwork, etc., and red tape to get in, but when we do get in, there's some really good success stories. I'm in a school in Cardiff next week, for example, so we try and get in there. And sometimes it will be part of maybe a disability awareness module or day or something like that. So it could all be sighted pupils, but then other times it is focused around a VI. So there's different angles to it.
That's really good.
I've got a quick question, if you don't mind. With regards to sort of your GB teams and things like that, is it quite a big select? Like, how many people have you got sort of playing competitive goalball at the moment, would you say? Is it a big process when you come to selection, or is there still is there a few that really sort of have carried it for a few years now?
Yeah, I mean, it's typical of any sport, really. It's a pyramid, so our base is big and strong, and then it goes up. So we've probably got about 500 players at the moment. We're still getting back on our feet, obviously, after COVID. So a few clubs are still not back training just because indoor facilities haven't reopened everywhere. We go kind of through the league structure, and then we have what's called our Goalball Academy. Then we have our kind of talent programme, and then GB men's and women's squads. And then for certain competitions, there will be age groupings. So, for example, we had men's under 23s went to a tournament, a European Championships in 2019. It would be in the summer of 2019, and they won a bronze medal there. And we also had the under 19 women's squad that went to youth championships in Sydney, Australia in the same summer as well. So it depends on what the competition is as to what the aging is. That obviously increases or decreases the field of selection. But I think with both squads, they've got, in a squad, you'll have six in terms of going to a tournament. In terms of a training squad, both squads, men and women, have kind of nine players within those. So selection can be challenging sometimes, as people are left at home, and then it's that crossover into the youth squads as well. So it's really exciting. Goalball UK as a national governing body has only been around since 2010, so it's only 5-6 years that we've started to or planted the seeds for the talent program and started to sow the seeds. So the first kind of products of the talent pathway are coming through now. So some of these kind of fresh-faced 17, 18-year-olds, and we first met them when they were 9, 10 years old, and they're really grown into fantastic goalballers now. So, the opportunity is there, put it that way, for people if they want to they're prepared to, you know, work hard. There's opportunities to get in the squad. So, yeah.
Cool.
I have two questions, if you don't mind. First one is, so, you know, like in football, you've got a national team. Is this sort of something like that in goalball? Because you said there will be qualification in 2023 for Paris Paralympics in 2024. So has goalball have a national team?
Yeah. So we have the Great Britain team. So it's a little bit different to, so the example I use, the football, it's just the makeup of the UK / Great Britain. So we compete as Great Britain. So that's a combination of all the home nations.
Yes.
Yeah. And so Great Britain play in the European Championships. And then, so the European Championships are coming up in November for the women. And then next year it's the World Championships in China. It's difficult because the past 18 months have not really been anywhere, but ordinarily every few months the GB team are getting off somewhere to play or to train. So, yeah.
Thanks very much, Catherine. That was really interesting. And I love the fact that it is really like a family, isn't it? And like you said, you're really sensitive to people's needs and things. It sounds like a really good sport to get involved with. If people are interested in getting involved, how can they contact Goalball to find out where their nearest club is or how to get involved?
Well, on our website, which is goalballuk.com, there is a club section. I would probably just be inclined to drop us a message as well, because sometimes there'll be activity, kind of one-off activity going on, or we'll be compiling a list of people to develop in a new area. So, you know, if you are in, for example, field, then, you know, yes, the South Yorkshire Club is there ready and waiting for you. But maybe if you live a bit further afield, don't just look at the website and think, oh, there's nothing for me. Let us know, and then we can, let you know what the opportunities are. And then also the usual social media channels as well. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can get in touch that way.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Catherine.